Thanks a lot. And my name is Vikas. I'll be just presenting the paper. This was work done by Judith Martinez and Manish Hiralkar at Qualcomm. So I'll be talking about disparity estimation, which basically uses a multi-resolution, multi-window sized approach. And the main idea behind this paper is that they wanted to put it on a cell phone. So a lot of emphasis was paid on reducing the complexity and the memory requirements and so on. So let me again mention that I'm just presenting it. So only easy questions, please. Okay. So I'll just start off with what is disparity and depth, the relation, simple stuff, and the relevance of the disparity map. So I'll be talking about some of the applications which most of us are familiar with. And I'll be looking at challenges of disparity estimation. I'll be concentrating on only local methods mainly, because those are the ones we'll be dealing with in this paper. And once we go through the challenges, I'll review some of the techniques which are used to solve some of those problems, and we'll see how the present approach actually leverages on some of those techniques. Okay, so disparity. So you have a stereo camera, you have the left and right image coming in. Let's assume that they're rectified, so now you have just two images differing by a horizontal disparity. This is the well-known Tsukuba image, and then let's say you have a pixel here, and you have a pixel here, XL and XR. So the disparity is just the difference in the pixel locations for this particular scenario. And if you do it for each pixel, you get a dense disparity map, which is pretty well known. So, and also if you assume a pinhole camera model, you can of course relate the disparity with depth through this inverse relation, where B is the baseline or the camera separation and F is the focal length. This is all pretty well known. So, and so you know that you can get a disparity map like this. And there are various methods to do it. So once you have the disparity map, there are a number of applications for which you could use it. One of them is 3D processing. So here, we know that there's a lot of effort going on to standardize video coding, for example. And using the depth map could be one of the useful features when you're encoding something. Or you could also have overlay of objects in 3D, which requires that you know the depth of different objects in the scene. Or on the display, for example, if you have multi-view displays, you may need to do image rendering based on the depth map, which again requires that you have a good disparity map. Or for 3D acquisition itself, if you want to change the convergence plane, it's always useful to have the disparity map. So there are a number of applications here. Okay, so the problem is to get the disparity map now, and let's see what the challenges are. So I'll be talking about local methods. So in any local method, typically you have an image patch around a given pixel, and then you have a search range in the other image. And then you look over all the possible candidate vectors, and you try to pick the one. You could have any matching cost. We're using sum of absolute differences here. The problem is that if you do it at a pixel-by-pixel level, you see how noisy the map is over here. So for that, you would... there are a bunch of other problems as well, not just the pixel-by-pixel noise. So you could have occlusions, which would mean that if you have a particular object in one view, you may not see the object in the other view. Or you could have uniform regions and repetitive patterns for which just local methods... It's very hard to use a local method to find the right match, because in uniform regions, you may have stuff which is for which there's basically not a good enough match because everything looks similar. And the same with repetitive patterns. You could also have specular regions which show up differently in the left and right image, and which is again a problem. And there are some other issues to deal with. And the constraints in the mobile space is that you have limited memory and computational requirements over here. And we also need it to be real time. So the estimation itself has to be real time, and it has to be pretty accurate so that the viewer doesn't detect too many problems with the disparity map. This is some standard taxonomy which is being used in the Middlebury database. So for any given scheme, you have the matching cost computation. And then using that, you aggregate based on different support regions. For example, you could have different window sizes, and you could aggregate over those. Then you actually have the disparity computation. And then usually most methods have a refinement scheme, because the first pass is not good enough. And the two methods, with two different types of methods here are global or local. We'll be concentrating on the local techniques, which are again window-based, so I went through this, I'll just skip this. So this is an example where you have where you see how the disparity map varies with respect to the window size. And this is one of the useful cues for us, because depending on the window size, you may either get, this is pretty flexible. So if you have a very large window size, it's not that flexible. But if you have a smaller window size, you could get better matches for local regions. But at the same time, you may get a lot of false matches. So there is a trade-off in choosing the window size here. And also, you have some other issues here. For example, if you use a local window approach and if you have discontinuities when there are occlusions, and you have a window which is centered, for example, around this pixel, you know that obviously it's very hard to find the right match because some of it belongs to the background, some of it belongs to the foreground. So if you are oblivious to this and you just find the disparity, it's not going to be right. So again, like I mentioned, you have the uniform areas and repetitive patterns which can cause issues too. So one way to deal with this is to use multiple windows, and you could aggregate over those different window sizes. You could also use different window shapes and use different coefficient weighting for the windows, as is shown here. And some of this could be used to eliminate the issues. For example, you could have a small size window here at the occlusion region. And when you use multiple windows, you can always reduce the computation time here. For example, if you have a large size window, you can always compute for the small size windows and then use the same values and just compute for the outer boundaries for the larger size windows. So you could make it, in other words, you could make it a recursive computation. And this actually saves computational costs. And you could also have multi-resolution. So you would compute disparities at the lowest resolution, and you could use any scheme to propagate it to the higher resolutions. And people have used these techniques for some time now, multi-resolution, multi-window. So now that we have some idea of the problems and some techniques to solve it, we are going to see how we can combine those to get a reasonably good solution. So the first step is to have a multi-resolution approach. So at each step, we downsample by 2. And in each step, we have these 4 steps going on at each level. So you find the disparity, you find the unreliable regions, and then you try to propagate the disparities to the unreliable regions. And once you have everything worked out for a given level, you propagate it to the next level, and so on. So you keep continuing. Okay, so let me go into each of these blocks now. So the first block here is matching cost computation, which is basically a simple sum of absolute differences. And you do it for around each pixel here with a given support. Now, the first step here, which is different from the existing steps, is support aggregation. And here we propose using multiple sized windows. And once you compute disparity for each of these different window sizes, remember that the first advantage is that you can reuse some of the computation because some of the windows overlap here. And the second advantage is that to select the correct disparity, we use a voting scheme here. So you calculate disparity for example, these 3. And then you get, let's say, these 3 curves for the disparity. And these are the candidate vectors. You find the minimum at each of these window levels. And now you use a voting process. If majority of them agree on the disparity vector, then you allocate that disparity to that given location. However, if there is no clear candidate after the voting process, you just flag that region as unreliable, and then we deal with it in the next step. So you have these regions. I don't know if it's clearly visible, but you have some black regions here for which there is no good estimate so far in the first step. So we just flag them as unreliable, and we'll have a second pass going through them to fill up those holes. And those regions are usually, obviously, those are pixels which have occlusions or other issues. So the idea is that we would, once we have the disparities for the reliable regions, for example, these gray and white areas, we would need to propagate them to the missing disparities for the black unreliable regions. So we basically build this reliability map here as the first step. Once we do that, we actually enhance the reliability map by adding on this condition, which is the bidirectional mapping. So what you do is you take the left image, you calculate the disparities with respect to the right image. Then you take the right image and calculate the disparities with respect to the left image. And then you combine the 2 disparity maps. And for regions for which the 2 disparity maps don't match up too well, you flag those regions as unreliable. And this technique is, this has been used before, the bidirectional check. You combine that map with our existing map from the previous step to get the final unreliable mask. And now I'll just talk about the refinement step. So once you have the unreliable mask, remember that this is a local process, so you can repeat this for every line or every local region. So I'll just pick one line here. And this diagram on the right, the blue curve shows the intensity values, and the red plot shows the disparities. You can see some X's here. So the X values are the unreliable values. So at the first step, you don't really have the disparity values for those, but you have disparities for the surrounding pixels. So this is basically a two-pass refinement. So this is just showing the unreliable locations. So in the first pass, you pick an unreliable pixel location here, and then you see if its neighbors have similar disparity values. If they do, then you propagate the disparities from either side. Okay, so that was the first pass, and you would fill up some of the regions in the holes with that. In the second pass, you check, for example, let me consider this location over here. Now, if you look at the left and if you look at the right, you see that there are two different disparity values on either side. So you would need to somehow fill in this region using those. So the idea is that you calculate the means for the left and right, ML and MR, and then you would want to calculate the mean of the pixel values for the hole. And then you see which of these means is closer to the mean intensity value of the hole. And then you start with along that direction. So let's say in this case, ML is closer to MH. So you start filling from that side. You start assigning disparities to the pixels. For each pixel, you compare its value with respect to ML. If it's closer to that, then you fill it in with the disparity of this region. Otherwise, you fill it in with the disparity of this region. You continue that till all these pixels are filled. There is a drawback here in the sense that you're forcing all the pixels to have a disparity value. And oftentimes, that's really not true. But when you would need some sort of value when you're doing depth-based view synthesis. So this is not optimal, but it seems to work reasonably well. So this is just showing after consistency check, you have this particular map here. And then you fill it in with the values in the second refinement stage. Now remember that was just for one level, since it's a multi-resolution scheme. So at the next level, the advantage of a multi-resolution scheme is that you need to do full-blown disparity search only at the lowest level. And then when you keep increasing the resolution, let's say you go 2x each time, you interpolate by two times, you would just need to refine the disparities you find at the lowest level. And that's what this is showing here. So let's say you calculate D1 and D2 at the lowest level. Now when you go up by one step, that is upsampled by two, you have only these possible values for the disparities at that higher level. So you just search for these possible candidate disparities for all these locations. And for this location, you just use the union of these two disparity sets, which is still a fixed number. Remember, you can go any number of levels, and at each level, when you upsample by two, there's a fixed range around which you search. And this is independent of the search range you had at the lowest level. So your disparity range could be anything in the scene. And you need to do the full-blown search only at the lowest level. And at every level above that, you just need this fixed number of computations. I think I'm going to skip through this. This just shows the number of computations involved. And the basic idea is that with multi-resolution, the number of computations go down. And also, since we're using windows of different sizes and we use a voting scheme, you could always use a recursive scheme where, for example, if you calculate something for the 3x3 window, you could reuse that for a 5x5 window. Okay, so these are some of the results here. So this is the map before any consistency check, and after the consistency check, you have this. Again, the dark regions are the ones which are unreliable, and then you have the disparity map. And then you fill in the dark regions by using the scheme I just described, the two-pass refinement. And then you see that you have a much cleaner disparity map. And this is comparing it to the true disparity. Obviously, there's still some issues to be solved. And this compares it with some of the well-known techniques. So this is belief propagation, which is a global scheme. So the advantage of a global scheme is that it's much cleaner and it looks much better. But the problem is that the running time is huge. So this is a comparison of the running time for our scheme versus belief propagation and graph cuts, which are two well-known global schemes. You can see that as the image resolution increases and as the disparities increase, you see that the running time for graph cuts and belief propagation is pretty high compared to the proposed scheme. So to conclude, I'll just summarize what I just spoke about. So the advantages are that it's a local scheme. So you have smaller memory requirements. It's line independent, which means it's pretty good to be parallelized, and you can have a GPU implementation for this. And this, I already mentioned this. So the computation cost is constant in the sense you need to do a full-blown search only at the lowest level. And that we gain this because we go for a multi-resolution scheme. And unreliable disparities can be detected using the voting scheme of different window sizes. And this can be shown to be a robust estimator. And once we have the unreliability mask, we propagate from the reliable regions to get reasonably reliable disparities for those regions. And the multi-resolution scheme obviously gives you adaptability. So you can decide the number of levels based on the processing power you have at the device. Okay, I guess that's about it. So if you have any questions, I can take them.
Okay, do we have any questions to the speaker? I guess if not, I got one to start with. How does it cope with rapidly changing occlusion and disparity, as in plants or trees or?
Can you repeat that? How does it?
How does the method cope with rapid changes of disparity in the environment?
Okay,
so if you've got a tree or a plant with leaves and...
Yeah, I guess it needs some temporal component. And I don't think right now that's in place yet. So for the video changes, but that would be a future step to look into.
And if there was a reflection in the window, what would happen to the...
It's a local scheme, so I'm guessing it would break down in those cases. So there needs to be some enhancement on top of this.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, thank you very much. Our next speaker.